When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility, with digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, my friends, and welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio, online at impactpowersportsmi.com. They are in Rockford, Michigan. Pardon me. They are. Wait, what? Huh? 14-mile road in Rockford. Kind of like out in the boonies of Rockford, if that's a thing. The Rockford boonies. Go there for an ATV, UTV, side-by-side motorcycle, e-bike, scooter, Yamaha, golf cart. List goes on and on. Shop online at ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. They sponsor this studio. They're one of the many sponsors in the past 6 years to the day that have made it so that this show happened. More on that a little bit later on. That would be the top thing I talk about today, but I have to get what is on everybody's mind, not only in my home state here where I broadcast the show in Michigan, but in a lot of other places too. The people are just jumping on board the Lions bandwagon with may have been one of the, in my opinion, most improbable one-sided victories I have ever seen. The Lions, much maligned defensively, since all of the key players have been going down, and you know, teams have been racking up big points, big yardage on them. The fact that the San Francisco 49ers, you know, they hung up almost 500 yards on the Lions. Maybe that many. I don't even know exactly how many. But, you know, they've been giving up points in bunches. They've been giving up yards in bunches. And then the Vikings come to town, who they have a receiving core. Well, they have a very good team. But their receiver, Justin Jefferson, not only is he the best in the league, he might be one of the best of all time. And this dude, Amik Robertson, I don't know the fucker's name, shut his fucking ass down. I will say that there was a couple times in that game that I was like, I think we should have gotten a penalty there. But refs were keeping the laundry off of the field. Whatever. That's not the reason why the Vikings lost. The Lions were very good. They did not give up a single touchdown. They even got to a point where the Vikings were knocking on the door several times, like first and goal at like the fucking 4. And the assholes couldn't punch it in. If you're a Vikes fan, you're like, what the fuck? We were exposed. And there was a lot of talk about that quarterback, Sam Darnold, beforehand. Stephen A. Smith said last week, he's like, you know, he hasn't passed for, he hasn't had any exceptional games in a long time, Sam Darnold. I went to the Vikings subreddit. and they're pissed. But they're doing a lot of blaming their own team. This person wrote, only the Vikings. Four times reaching the red zone. Did not score a TD. Three times having goal to go, but not scoring a TD. Two failed fourth and goal attempts and one missed field goal. And I guess this has never happened before because this person went on to write, no other NFL team in the last, it hasn't happened in a long time, in the last 30 years has done all of that in the same game. Oh, God. Who knew? They talked about that one guy, Alex Anzalone, coming back. And frankly, I mean, I was thinking to myself, now, how good can he possibly be? But it was like he never left. That guy was all over the fucking field. He showed I didn't realize that when he busted his forearm, that it was broken and had to be like rebuilt, which I was not aware of. He showed a scar going from like his wrist all the way down to like his elbow, where the doctor went in and then put him all back together again and then sewed him up. And he's playing fucking football? Holy shit! I got to hand it to all of you who had more faith than I had. I tell you what, you did not back down a single bit. I was convinced that the Vikings were going to win that game. So I'm definitely eating crow there. However, it's just all for naught because the Lions will not win another fucking football game. Unfortunately, they will take on the winner of the Rams and the Vikings. And unfortunately, like I told you, they're not going to win another game. Now, every time I've said that, they've won. In fact, since I started saying that, they haven't lost. So it's very important now that I say, fuck you, Lions. You're going to lose. Linda says we should still call Kyle even in the bye week just to keep it up. Oh, no, I agree. I agree with that. Yeah, I want to get his thoughts on that game at some point this week. I predicted that the Lions would lose 42-7. Kyle predicted the Lions would win 35-31. Chris says, I thought we'd get a little humble pie at least. Well, look, I already said that you had much more faith than I did. And why would I sit there and go, oh, yeah, now I'm rooting for him? I can't do that. We are on a fucking roll. I go into every Lion game. My own personal style of rooting for them is expecting them to fuck this up. And that's just to keep my sanity. Expect the worst. Hope for the best. That's how I deal. That game, in fact, when it started out, the first quarter, it was probably the most touch and go. There was a lot of fucked up plays in that game, by the way, for the Lions. Okay? That was not a clean game. It wasn't until from the middle of the third quarter on that I was like, okay, we can breathe a little bit. Jahmyr Gibbs, incredible. But Goff was a fucking asshole more than once. Early in that game, he had intentional grounding in the end zone. They did not call it. He also threw a pass. I don't know if it was his fault. It might have been Williams' fault. That went like 300 yards in the air. And it was picked off. You had that one. There was more than one ball that he threw and was tipped. The one resulted in an interception. There was also that play where that fucking guy that looked like dime store Alex Anzalone for the Vikings, that Dutch fuck with the long blonde hair, he tipped it and had an interception for a touchdown. And he dropped it because he's a cock. That was Goff's fault. That same guy almost murdered Jahmyr Gibbs. There were numerous plays that could have had that game going the other way, all right? And then somehow they managed to fucking wiggle their way out of it. I don't know. In fact, I'll say this. All of that wiggling out of it could have gone either way. That's why they will lose in 2 weeks. Nick says, when it was fourth and inches and they threw it, he said that had him losing his shit. Yeah, I think everybody was like, going, what the fuck? Just run a sneak, you cock. So that was a little bit weird. Amon-Ra St. Brown, huge in the clutch. Laporta, huge. Gibbs, fucking out of this world. Anzalone, Amik Robertson, huge defensively. My God. Then it finally started to settle down. You could tell we were going to win. That quarterback for Minnesota was fucking awful. Fucking terrible. That guy stunk. It all came rushing back that his whole career, he's been a pile of shit. And then on that game, as soon as the Lions started to get some penetration, like the pass rush was starting to harass him a little bit, he's like, oh, he's just throwing it all over the fucking field. I really enjoyed hearing Chris Collinsworth. When you hear announcers like, in this case, Chris Collinsworth, other days, guys like Tom Brady or Troy Aikman, they're talking about the way the Lions are playing in a way like they haven't ever seen a team play like that before with what they're doing, the going for it on fucking fourth down all the time, which, love it or hate it, it's here to stay. They're going to live by that, die by that. And when you have wild moments like in this game, the defense just shuts them the fuck down. Even when the Vikes had those handful of big plays, you were like, we just fucking snuffed them out. It was incredible. The kicker was an asshole for the Vikings. The Vikings kicker missed a field goal. And then late in that first half, that dick managed to kick it out of bounds, which meant the Lions got the ball in the 40. Boom, boom, boom. Two plays later, they're kicking a field goal, which nullified the Vikings' previous field goal 30 seconds earlier. So there was a lot of asshole-ish behavior all the way around by the Vikings. You even had the moment before the game where the Vikings themselves spent $2 million of their own money, and they went to StubHub and bought 2,000 tickets and said to the Vikings fans, we are selling these tickets. And they're like right up front, right behind the Vikings bench. Great seats. 2,000 seats. And they made it known to Vikings Nation. Go to the game. We're selling these at face value. So what was a $6,000-$7,000 seat is going for $150. And So they made all this available leading up to the game. And then you know what happened? All the Lions fans, I swear to God, called the Vikings box office and paid face value for a game that they wouldn't have been able to afford otherwise. There was many, many fans who were posting, got my Lions tickets from the Vikes. So it backfired on them. My God. Jeremy says Sam Darnold remembered that he is Sam Darnold. I knew this day was coming for him. Well, you knew more than me. Outstanding. Tyler says, keep saying they'll lose, easy. Well, now, honestly, though, I really believe that the end of this ride is coming. Won't be next week because they have the week off. There was word that Knuckles is coming back. Now, here's the thing about Knuckles coming back. David Montgomery, the other running back, both fantastic running backs. What do you call the one guy? Gibbs and Montgomery. He was on the sidelines and he was indicating that he's going to come back. Now, they said that he damaged a ligament in his knee, and his first doctor said, we got to go in and operate right now. And the second doctor said, we got to go in and operate right now. And the third doc said, nah, fuck that. It's a little tear. It's going to heal. You'll be playing in 4 weeks. How does that work? I mean, if you think about it, so he'll be playing, and had he listened to two of three doctors, he would have been operated on and wouldn't be able to play for significant time. You got to fire those fucks. I don't know. Maybe the third guy is wrong, you know? Okay. Well, that was just gigantic. I cannot get over how big that was. And for me, the way it is, watching the Lions now, I've got it down where if I'm uncomfortable while watching them, and I do that, then it's a good thing. I do that by standing in front of the television. So I have it on upstairs in my room. The NFK has gone to bed. He doesn't want to stay awake for it. We shut it all off downstairs, go upstairs. I have the TV on in my room. Pooh Bear's laying in bed. And the whole third quarter, I was standing. And I'm like moving, rocking, stretching my legs. Legs are starting to hurt because I'm old. I'm biting my nails. And she goes, come to bed. You're making me nervous. I go, and this is just when they're starting to get some momentum, you know. Prior to that, she screams at the TV. Like there was something happened. She goes, what the fuck? And I go, look, man, no more yelling. You can't. It just puts me in another atmosphere. It's already stressful beyond belief. I can't sit there and have you screaming like that. Yes, let's watch it, but no more screaming. No, please, no more screaming. Can't do it. Chris says, dang, you watched? I thought you'd have been doing the radio. Yeah, listening to the radio. You're right. Not today, or not yesterday. Nope, I watched it. I sat down and watched it. I don't like to watch it in one particular room because it's a little bit too busy, dog, shit like that. In my room is the place to be. I'm figuring that out. And just standing. Chris says, that's what I did too, or that's what I do too. I stand behind the chair, LOL. If there's like a timeout or a commercial, I'll sit then or whatever. Get ready for bed, brush my teeth. These night games suck shit. Jeremy says Goff did not look good. The offense was struggling the first half, yet they still put up 31 points. Struggling offenses don't just put up 31 points. The Lions are a special team. Yeah, especially early on of the first half and then part of the second half. But then he started to get more sharp. And I don't know how that is. Lions have so many different players to throw it to. I saw a statistic before this game started about Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I'm forgetting the numbers wrong, but he had been thrown to before this game 130 some times during the course of the season. Like the ball was thrown towards him. And he had caught it 110 times. Zero drops. He didn't drop a ball all year. Same thing for last game. He didn't drop a ball during the regular season. That's a crazy statistic. The only time that reason why he didn't catch it because either pass broken up or bad pass, but he never had a moment where the ball hit his hands and then it hit the ground. Not once. Insane. Absolutely insane. Yeah, I was flabbergasted by that. I think that if you look at it from a Lions fan, you know, with me saying that they're going to lose, but a lot of you, to your credit, were like, no, they're going to win. And you may have thought they're going to win, but you didn't think they were going to win like that. I mean, let's be honest here. That was an ass kicking. We beat the shit out of those guys. And because there were so many miscues by the Lions, it could have been worse. But the Lions strapped it on defensively, especially in the red zone, where if the Vikes had gotten those touchdowns, my God, that could have been going the other way for the Lions, against the Lions. Chris said, rumors are Eric Zane is taking the bye week by 3 next week. Lions hoping to recover. Fingers crossed that I will be wrong again in the first week of the playoffs. Let me ask you this, viewers/listeners of this show. At this point, with me saying that they're going to lose every game and they haven't lost since I started saying that, you have to want me to keep saying that at this point, right? I mean, it would be nuts to change anything at this point. As of right now, that's all that has to happen. Lions will lose in 2 weeks. I need to keep saying that. We need to keep talking to Kyle. And that's the end of it. Today is podcast-versary. I touched on this a little bit on Friday, but I wanted to stress it again. I am so very tickled that here we are 6 years later and the show is where it is right now. And that is up and running. Now, I'd be some kind of asshole if I made up some fairy tale and told you that, you know, we're well on our way to having 1 million viewers. It's probably never going to happen. But at the end of the day, this is still what I'm able to do every day to keep the lights on, to keep the heat going, to keep the family fed, the dogs fed, and have a great time with all of you. This has been so good for the soul to be able to sit here and do this for 2-3 hours a day and somehow manage to make a living doing it. I'm very thankful for all of the audience members who watch the show, both past and present. And I say that without being any type of a cock. I owe a lot to that. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the former Zaniacs. When that group started, they were wonderful. It's a little bit eye-raising how much they were, quote-unquote, into it. But that's just the retardation. It went as far as it could, and then they had to be jettisoned. But they did a lot when they were becoming more and more retarded. And it wasn't until they were fully retarded that I decided that they needed to be hated upon. still to this day. And they should be. Okay? They can all fuck off. But before I told them to fuck off, they were very helpful. They helped build this studio. And I'm thankful to them before they became full retard. Jeremy says, happy podcastversary. Super happy that there are no other significant historical events that happen on January 26th to take away from this huge accomplishment. Yeah, 2 years after I started the show, world's biggest asshole convention went down. God damn. But then as the show started to get underway, it was 1 week in that I was like, all right, I'm going to try to sell this thing, try to make a go of it. I mean, I got nothing else. What the fuck else am I going to do? And, here we are. Thanks to the folks on Patreon who have supported in the past and now. You are awesome. It's one of the many ways that I am able to keep the lights on. Your support is immeasurable. Absolutely fantastic. Ooh, I'm getting a phone call from Thor Motor Coach. Hello?
Hi, is this Eric?
Yes, this is Eric.
Hi, Eric. This is Thor Motor Coach. I'm just giving you a call regarding the survey you submitted for your coach. I'm just touching base to see if you still had any questions or concerns you would like to talk about.
No, I pretty much covered it on there. It was pretty ugly. I don't know if you saw the whole thing.
I did. We just typically like to give you a call instead of going back and forth in emails.
Right, right.
To see if you still had any concerns.
Well, overall, I'm very worried about the future of the coach because I had nothing but problems for the first several months. It was unbelievable, unacceptable.
Right. Well, that's understandable. And I do want to assure you that with your warranty, we will take care of any concerns that you're having once you have, you know, the coach at the dealership and any submissions are sent over to us. That's why we have that warranty.
Yep. Yeah, I know. It just was troublesome because we had such a good feeling to begin, and then, you know, it kind of went south like that.
Right. No, I understand that. Now, have you, if you're still having those concerns, have you scheduled an appointment yet or no?
No. Everything's fine right now, but I'm holding my breath. You know, okay. It's kind of like I'm on eggshells, you know, waiting for the next problem.
Okay, well, if anything does arise, sir, or if you have any questions, just give us a call back, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too, bye. Cole says she doesn't give a fuck. It's so true. Chris says, what was the point? That was a cover their ass. That's all that was. What was I talking about? I hate when I do this.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
I get distracted. Well, look, a squirrel. Podcastversary. All the good times, bad times. You know, I've had my share. No, that's about it. Thank you so much again. I can't stress that enough. It's good to still be doing radio to some degree. I mean, I look at what happened building the podcast, and then radio kind of came back into my life. I'll take that all day long. All right. As you can see, you have an exhausted puppy dog behind me. Darla is wasted. She was over at doggy daycare from Saturday to Sunday. And She played with Gracie the entire time she was there. And this is the result. Completely cashed out. It was a trip over to Detroit Saturday, Sunday for your old pal EZ. It was Pooh Bear, EZ, and Madison. We drove to the east side to hang out with Wally, my mother's husband, my stepdad, for a period of time. And the craziest thing, Wally has lost his vision. And he goes to a blind people support group now. And I think that's where they learn how to play guitar or play pinball or piano. Anyway, while he was there, they said, hey, there's a device that we want to see if you're interested in it. And he paid for it. It was pretty expensive. And it's he puts on a pair of glasses, not that he can see anything, but it's more so that you can put this device on the arm of the eyeglasses. And it's it has like the tech where, and I don't even know what the thing is called. I think it's called Oscar or something like that. And then he goes, here, let me watch this. And he puts this thing on. And he's blind. He says out of his left eye, he can make out a little bit of light so that if someone were in front of him and light was behind them, he could see the outline of a head or their body or something like that. But that's it. He puts this thing on, and it's Pooh Bear, myself, and Madison. And he goes, okay, hey, Oscar. And he goes, yes? What's in front of me? Pause. There are three people seated on couches, a Christmas tree, a sliding glass door to the outside, and a television. So I'm like, right away, I'm thinking about using this thing for evil. And, you know, let's go get one of Amanda's dildos and put that in front of him. That's the first thing I would do with that thing. So he's adapted. He's got that thing. And then he just picks up a book. Hey, Oscar.
Yes?
Read me this book. The fucking thing reads it. My God. I go, well, it's being blind is no big deal now. So he's got the cane that he walks down the hall with. And I go, so what are your activities now? He goes, well, and he does everything. He goes, well, Monday I go to yoga. I go, Wally's like 90. I go, how does that work? He goes, well, I just get my cane, go out the door. I turn on Oscar. And Oscar just tells me where to go. It's like fucking GPS. My God. So he's doing great. I was, it seems like his spirit is better these days. He had some like bouts of depression after my mother passed, but I think he's doing much better. He looks very strong. I'm like, Wally, I think you've packed on some muscle or something. Cause Wally's kind of tall. But lean, you know. We wrapped that up, and then we drove across town. I think, I don't know where Maureen lives, but we were in Davison, Michigan. Doesn't Maureen live in, like, Owosso? We were in this little town called Davison, Michigan for Mother Marquis's passing, celebration of life. And went in there, ton of family, all on my dad's side. You know, my dad is remarried, and then Joanne has a daughter named Sue, which is my sister / stepsister. Like a sister, but technically a stepsister. She, her mother-in-law passed. I've known her for a long, long time. And so this was, you know, get together. It was a nice thing. I think I want to do that. I think that should be a thing where when you die, it should be illegal that the person is like in a casket and you go walking up to a dead guy. Yeah, that's fucked. You got to do it like this. You got it right. This was set up at a location where it was a really nice warm room, and there was a big screen and all the pictures of Mother Marquis over the years. And then we kind of like shared stories of good times with Mother Marquis. And then we had a meal, and then that's it. 2 hours, and no one is just dying to get out of there. If I go to a funeral or a visitation, what a shit show. Who's the asshole that said, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take the dead guy, put him in the casket, and open it up. And he's going to look like shit. Still, everybody is going to get there and go up to him and, like, I don't know, pray. Or just look at him. And then you got to get up. Then you got to get in this fucking 5-hour line and shake hands with people who are intensely medicated, who don't even know who the fuck you are, and then you leave. All the while, the family who's standing there waiting for you at this line of assholes is exhausted. They've been standing there for like 3 days straight. They're probably addicted to cocaine at this point. They hate everything. It's horrible. It's a terrible experience. Fuck you and fuck that funeral industry. Somebody dies, should be a law. They're incinerated, and then they open up the door and they throw the shit outside, and then that's the end of it. You go to, and then you're on your own. You get a nice room, nice banquet hall. Throw up some pictures, play some fucking Christian rock, and make some food. Let's eat, motherfucker. You would not believe the food that we had. My lovely stepsister / sister Sue, she goes to this church that is like really, these folks are fantastic. They, yeah, everyone like comes together. It's like a lot of this takes a village mentality. This is the type of church where if like somebody has a leaky roof, they like tap somebody on the shoulder at the church who specializes in roofs. Hey, you got to get over to Leonard's house. His roof's leaking, and then it's fucking fixed. It's incredible. You know, hey, so-and-so's got a busted leg and the grass is long. The lawn is long. Someone over there cut the lawn. Okay, it's done. This really nice lady in the congregation. She's great at Mexican food. And Mother Marquis loved Mexican food. So we went crazy on the Mexican food. I was like, Jesus Christ, this is incredible. Because this woman, the deceased, Mother Marquis, was like this legendary chef. And, you know, you walked into the house and she's like, start eating, you know, make these incredible meals that people just told stories about for years and years and years. And now she's not with us. So this is easily, without a doubt, the greatest thing that I have ever been involved in someone's passing. All right. Inherently a sad event. However, I'm not going to lie to you. If this was the norm everywhere and somebody died, there's going to be a point in that when I'm like, yes. Now that's the way to go. So I think I need to go back and redo the will to ensure that that happens. Let it be known. Cremate me and no one's going to come look at my body. Ugh, I'm dead. Come look at me. Fuck that. The only way I'll do that is if they write the word fuck on one eyelid and you on the other eyelid. You know? Nick says they have new water cremation where it pressure cooks you into goo that goes down the drain. Whatever. I don't care. That's just my vessel. I mean, when I die, I'm out, and you can leave that vessel behind. I don't give a shit what you do with it. I'm going up to hang out with Jimi Hendrix and shit like that. Because I don't know if you know this, if your body is put into, some people get put into interred in a wall. You ever see those? Those are fucked up. First of all, they have to be slanted because at some point, no matter how good your casket is, some of your juice is going to come flying out of that thing and it has to go the other way. And then it has to drain. That's what the way those things are built. And there's ventilation to keep it from blowing towards the people who are looking up at the wall with your stupid name on it. No, that was an absolute celebration. And Mother Marquis will be missed forever. And I will look back very fondly on her life for a lot of reasons, but not the least of which will be this moment in time when we were all together again. All right. Amy says, I want to be cremated. I already have a will and it is written in there. None of that viewing the body crap for me. Well, that's a fantastic gift that you have given your loved ones. I think I want to get to a point where if someone dies and it's open casket, I'm not going. So if Pooh Bear kicks the bucket and she says before she dies, Eric, yeah, honey, I want open casket. And everyone has to stand around me and stare at me. I'm going to go, okay, yes, we're going to do that. I won't be there. Either that or I'm just going to go, yes, we will do that, and then not do it. No, I'm not doing it. I don't know if I'd have the nerve to tell her as she's breathing her last breath, honey, I love you, but I'm cremating you. In about an hour, you will be ash. Molly says, I've never been to an open casket and never fucking would. I've been to some where it's actually starting to stink. Like, oh, great. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, let me smell your rotting ass. Jeremy says, let's stare at a dead guy and be sad is the worst idea we've ever had as a society. Aram says he would finish the relationship with zero Pooh Bear points. Maureen says, I don't want anybody looking at me, dead or alive. All right. I have workplace Monday staff meeting coming up. Just FYI, I want to throw out that we are doing a Big Fraud Wednesday this week. That is the day that we will be doing the Patreon shows of Who Are These Free Beers, followed by the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, featuring the Bomedy podcast. 1 minute of the Bomedy podcast during the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. Our heroes, Free Beer and Hot Wings, are back to work today, and that's a big deal because we're going to be pulling some fresh material from this week to see what our heroes came up with in their long time away. Very excited about that. Hopefully some of them were arrested during their time away. Amy says there is a place in Grand Rapids where it's a natural burial and you kind of get planted like a tree. I've seen that. We've actually talked about that. I think it's in Nuevo. I don't know if I like that either. Just burn it. Get it out of here. Be done with it. Of course, there's an entire industry for the funerals and cemeteries, so whatever. Whatever it takes. Just personal preference, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into a little bit more about that Lions game because I've got some clips. We need to touch on a Dan Campbell locker room speech. These are always fantastic. Lions win the game, and Dan Campbell had this to say, which always fires up the troops.
You guys look like you remember who the you are. Yeah, that was awesome. That's a hell of a win, guys. All I can think about is, man, we've been forging this stuff now. This has been 3 years in the making, some of it four. Like, that just doesn't happen. You got to work through it, grind through it, and go through the downs to get to the ups of where we're at. That was unbelievable, man. Division winners, back-to-back seasons, and the number one seed.
I just did not see this coming. Seriously. I have a friend who's a Vikings fan, and I said, I just don't feel good about this game. My God.
It was a total team effort. I got three game balls. I got three game balls. On offense, 23 carries, 139 yards, three touchdowns, five catches for 31 yards, one touchdown. Broke the franchise record for touchdowns in the season. Jaw Gibbs!
Appreciate y'all, boys. Couldn't do it without y'all. Love y'all. Let's keep going.
On defense, five total tackles. All right. One pass defended, only gave 18, had three catches. Mr. Amik Robinson.
Hey.
I mean it from the bottom of my heart, man. I appreciate y'all, man, because y'all gave me a chance to showcase what I could do when they tried to bury me, dog. But they can't bury what comes from the dirt.
Did you hear that? They can't bury what comes from the bleeping dirt. What does that mean? They can't bury what comes from the dirt. Is he saying he's dirt? Everybody loved that comment, but I'm confused as to what it means. They can't bury what comes from the dirt. Corn?
You can't bury what comes from the dirt.
And everybody goes, yeah, like they know what he means. Nobody knows what the fuck that means. You can't bury what comes from the dirt.
Hey,
I think he just pulled that out of his ass and everyone went, yeah, he could have said anything there. You can't bury what comes from the moon and the stars. Yeah.
Let's get that big one, man. Let's keep on working, man. I love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Yeah.
I got one more on defense. Seven total tackles. One's quarterback hit, one pass defense. Welcome back, Alex Anzalone.
He's a big son of a bitch. Hey. Looks like a dime store Chris Denham.
Every time you get this is a team award. But defense, I'm proud of you today, man. I'm proud of the defense today. This is for y'all. Appreciate you. Love you.
It's a hell of a win, man. Back-to-back. See, what we've done is not easy. It's not easy, but I'm telling you what, man, we've said it all along. We got a special group, man, and this has been coming a long time. That's a lot of hard work, and we are the number one seed with a bye, gentlemen.
Hey, I never looked at Jared Goff and thought, all-pro quarterback. He looks like a goddamn guidance counselor.
This is just step one. Yeah. This is just step one. We're on a bigger and better now. Proud of you guys. Love y'all. Win out there. Win out there.
Put that job on.
Goff's getting a f***ing check.
Wow. Dave says Goff and Anzalone look like they could be brothers. I'm not seeing that. Amy says, I think he was just saying they or he was so low that there's nowhere to go but up. I don't know. Maybe. Piano Finger Banger says, dude's a philosopher. Without a doubt. Now, my meeting starts at 11 a.m., but I'm going to cut it now because I got to let the dogs out. They haven't been out, and they got to go potty. So I'll be back probably closer to noon because I got to maybe, I don't know, it depends. So anyway, there you go. That's how we do it on a Monday. It's a two-part show on the live stream. For the folks in the audio podcast, you're totally used to that. But I do need to finish and get some of my amazing sponsors in the spotlight for this edition of the show. Thank you to Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. They work on all cars, EVs, hybrids. I just had Jackie go over there, and she got her Civic Hybrid taken care of. It needed new brakes. And I said to her, I go, now look, when you walk in there, they're going to review the entire vehicle to see what all is wrong with it. So don't be shocked when they tell you all of the things wrong with it. And that's an old car. She goes, okay, no problem. And she says to me, Dad, it's $5,000 for everything. I go, yeah, but what did they tell you? What's pressing, what's super important, what's can wait? They told you all that. It's laid out in the email. She goes, yeah. I go, well, that's why they do that. But there are some things on the car. The ones that say, you have to get this taken care of, do it. And then now you know and save your pennies and then get something else fixed. And then before you know it, the car is as good as new. I go, or get rid of the car. Is the car still worth it? Talk to Steve over there. He'll tell you if the car is still worth it. It is. So there you go. That's how it works. ERVines.com, ERVines.com, the premier place in West Michigan to get your vehicle repaired. Their phone number is 616-532-6600. And again, ERVines.com. Joe Martinez is not in the chat. At least I don't think he is. No, he's not here right now. He might be resting. He's been under the weather lately. So if he was, I wonder what he would say about the Lions beating the goddamn Vikings. Anyway, reach out to Joe, 616-516-8579. 616-516-8579 for any HVAC needs, furnace, air conditioning, furnace tune-up, or if the thing just goes kablooey and you need an emergency fix. 616-516-8579. Also, the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Buy now, refinance later at 231-332-6505. 231-332-6505. From anywhere in the U.S., you can get a mortgage. Get pre-approved today and start shopping for your dream home. That's the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Finally, for this segment of sponsors, Tag Accounting, tagcpa.net. Now, Tag CPA, Troy Ginzer is the guy. It's Tag. Troy Anthony Ginzer. I think it's Anthony. Tag. Okay, he's been doing my taxes for years. I almost said my paxes. He's also been in charge of my payroll and my LLC, S-Corp, for this podcast for the last 6 years. He's given me great advice. He takes care of everything for me, whether it be personal taxes or business-related things. Tag CPA does it all. If you want more information, go to the website tagcpa.net. You can call and get on their radar at 616-301-9516 to get started on scheduling to have your personal tax return done appropriately and perfectly from anywhere in the U.S. Just reach out, tagcpa.net. That's it for hour one. I want to leave with Aram has some comments. He says, first of all, Jeremy says, don't forget about the Fatathon update. Oh, no, I won't. We have three people on the Fatathon now. We have Jeremy, Kenny, and Amanda. A couple plot twists to talk about there. We'll talk about that when I come back. Concerning the Lions, Aram says, congrats to me as well, because I always believed in the team. Wait, are you congratulating you? That's kind of weird. He said, Eric jumped ship too soon. I didn't jump ship. What are you talking about? I've been totally on their bandwagon for the whole time. I just don't think they're going to win. I don't understand how that is not how that's jumping ship. Linda's interview went great, but she said she'll have to jump through more hoops. That means she's got to sleep with a couple people. All right. I'll be back. Thank you so much for being part of this one. Bye-bye. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.